invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians and chapter 2. We continue our study through this book, and I'm going to read verses 3 down to verse 8 of Colossians 2. Passage speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ begins in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Mike Paulin and I have a little game or something we do before the services, sometimes after the services. He comes to me and he says, so, Reverend Robert, what's the title of the sermon? Mike runs the sound booth back there and has to put the title of the sermon up on online, and he, for whatever reason, calls me Reverend Robert. And what is interesting that he has found is that when he comes, I don't always have a sermon title. And in fact, sometimes the message is over, and he'll come to me and say, so, Reverend Robert, what's the title for this morning's message? And I'll have to say, I don't know, what do you want to call it? And not that I don't have a theme, but I don't always think through the titles ahead of time. And so I want to give him the title eventually in our introduction. So, Mike, pay attention back there, right? And we'll get it. The title of this morning's message is not How to Fire Up a Marriage That's Grown Cold. And it's not How to Keep Your Kids Off Drugs and in School. And it's not How to Move Forward in a Dead-End Job. And it's not How to Live and Work with People, or maybe a subtitle for that would be, Lord, Do I Really Have to Hug Porcupines? Now, those are all really nifty sermon titles that I came up with, but it's not for today. And it's not that those topics of rescuing your marriage and rescuing your kids and rescuing your sanity at work and relationships, it's not that those topics aren't important. They are. And it's not even that they're not addressed in Colossians, because they are addressed in Colossians, not with those words, but those themes are in Colossians chapter 3. But before we get to the passages that deal with rescuing and protection in these areas, Paul has a more important foundational topic to address. And that is rescuing your soul from the destruction of turning away from Jesus Christ. Rescuing your soul, and that's not the title of the message, you don't get that. Rescuing your soul from the destruction of turning away from Jesus Christ. And this is the key truth on which the answers to all those other how-to questions rests. And really every other question concerning the vital issues of life and death, it really rests on the truth of Jesus Christ and that truth that's mentioned in verses 6 and 7. That we must receive Christ and we must walk in him and we must be rooted in him and established in the faith. And so before Paul deals with all these other topics that are important that he does get to, he first turns our attention to protecting our walk in Christ. And so now the title of the message. Got it, Mike? Ready? Don't give up your treasure. All right? Don't give up your treasure. My father-in-law plays the flute, and he's very good. I enjoy him playing in church and playing at family gatherings and just listening to him play. And a while back, he was interested in buying an alto flute, which is, I guess, a flute that's a little bigger than the normal flute and plays lower notes, and something that he could use in ministry and just enjoy. And being the only way my father-in-law can be is just meticulously researching, getting this right brand of alto flute, and he did all that research, and then he got on the internet, eBay, and he began to look for the alto flute, and he found it, and he began to bid on it, and then he'd He'd fall behind in the bid and he'd enter his bid. And finally, he put his highest offer and he lost the alto flute, didn't get it. And not soon after that, I mean, very quickly after that, he got a notice through eBay, so he thought, a second chance notice. It came to him and said, because the original buyer fell through, now you have a second chance to get the alto flute that you really wanted. Just send money to this person via Western Union. And he did that. And even though the message looked like it was from eBay, and it was all, you know, all the logos and everything and all the format, it was a con. And he was conned out of many hundreds of dollars. And I can remember talking to him after, just crestfallen, you know. It's like, oh, you know, how could I be duped? Oh. You know, no one plans to be fooled. No one wants to have that which is valuable taken away from him or her. And certainly no one willingly hands over treasure to a thief and a con man. And our text reminds us that there are those who are seeking to walk off with your treasure, to walk off with my treasure. Actually, they're seeking to work in such a way where you will give up your treasure for something else. You'll hand it over. And the treasure, verse 3, is Jesus. Passage that a verse that we covered earlier. And last week we saw how great the treasure of Jesus is in verses 6 and 7. Under the messages both morning and evening last week, that Jesus is all you need. We saw that he is the source of all life. He is the source of all purpose. He is the solid foundation on which you can rest your hope and your confidence, not only in this life, for all eternity. Jesus Christ is all you need. In fact, in verse 6, he is called Christ. Remember, we looked at that title. Christ is not Jesus' second name, but it is a title that refers to the fact that Jesus is the promised deliverer who was promised from the beginning of time. That would one that would come and give his life on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. That he is the Messiah, the one set apart for this special work. The only one that could do it. He's called in verse 6 and in verse 9, he is the Lord. And he is God, and so he is worthy of our service and of our worship. And I asked you last week, as the text speaks of receiving Christ, have you received Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ, the Lord? Have you welcomed him into your life, realizing that he is the only hope that you have for forgiveness of sins? Have you turned from those sins and looked to him and his death on the cross and his resurrection as the hope for eternal life? Have you received him? And the text goes on and says, and having received him, the key to living your life and how all the how-tos boil down to this, walk in him. Just hang on to Christ. Follow him, serve him, rest in him. And if you remember, this passage describes hanging on to Christ in terms of hanging on to the faith, hanging on to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Never forget that, that he is God, very God, that he is the promised Redeemer. He is Christ. He is Lord. Never forget what he has done. Never forget what he has commanded you to do. Never forget what he's promised and rest in his mercy and his grace and his peace and rely on his promises. As the text says, as you have been taught. And we saw the end of verse 7. That the more you come to see the treasure that is yours in Christ, you will be abounding with thanksgiving. That your response will be overwhelming gratitude. That you will be content in life, even though life may bring some difficult circumstances and hard situations, whatever the struggles of life, you will be able to look at it and be content because you will recognize that in Jesus Christ, I have all I need because he has provided for me, for all eternity. I could put it this way. If I could find out your bank account number and I could deposit in your bank account unlimited resources so that whenever you went to write a check, whenever you went to put the card in the ATM machine, it would always produce what the money that you needed. If I did that for you, I think most people would be like, yes, yes, this is great. I mean, wow. And then you would have, beyond that, not only that sense of gratitude, thank you, thank you, thank you, but to be a sense of security. Whew, man, any problems? There'd be that sense of, wow, gratitude and security. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ says, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And if I could put the whole world in your bank account where, again, no problems, everything, and you lost your own soul, doesn't matter. And so we see that the treasure of Christ is far surpasses anything that this life has to offer, because the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ provides for our soul for all eternity and gives us security, not just in this life, but security in the life to come when we stand before God as a sinner, facing His just wrath, to realize that we are clothed in Christ's righteousness and we can come before Him forgiven and accepted before God, our soul kept saved. What a great treasure. There's nothing that matches that. You show me a person who really believes that, who really believes that Jesus is a treasure that surpasses anything on this world, anything in this world, and you will find someone who is content and someone whose life is filled with praise. And I'd have to say, just speaking from my own standpoint, Lord, give me that kind of faith. Because there are times in the weakness of my faith, I look at that bank account and I look at the security and I say, well, that would, you know, Jesus plus that would be okay. No, I don't need that. All I need is Christ. Would God give us that type of faith, to have that type of contentment, to realize that Jesus is all that we need? Now, as we come to verse 8, we find a warning that there are people who are going to come along and try to walk off with this treasure. Actually get you to let go of it and grab onto something else. And for the rest of this chapter, chapter 2, Paul gives four categories of arguments. Verse 4, he calls them enticing words that people will use to get you to walk away from Christ. And last week, I list the main ideas of the arguments. I'm not going to do that this morning. But there are four ways in this chapter that people are going to come along and try to say, hey, take this instead of Christ. Or, you know, Christ is okay, but add this to it as well. And in doing so, you have to hand over the treasure of Christ. And the purpose of this message this morning is to charge you, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give up the treasure of Christ for anything. So let's begin looking at the deceptive arguments and how to guard ourselves against them so that we don't give up our treasure. It's one thing to be duped out of an alto flute of many hundreds of dollars. But to be duped out of the treasure of Christ, who is the very source of truth and life and the way of salvation, this is serious business. And the section begins again appropriately with a warning. Beware. Literally means watch. The word means keep your eyes open. Remember last week I described it in terms of the basketball drill that our son David was in at the basketball team that he's on, where the coach gave each of the kids a ball, and there were 20 kids on the half court. They all had a ball. They had a dribble. And at the same time while they were dribbling, they were trying to steal the ball from the other kids. And then they're running around dribbling, and they had to keep their eyes open. They had to watch and had to look, and eventually they... kids were getting knocked off, the ball was getting stolen, and the area got smaller and smaller until they were just in the lane, and just a couple of them were dribbling, trying to get the ball. And that's the idea of watching, being alert. One of the things that frustrates me at times in watching basketball games, high school basketball games, is whoever has the ball will bring the ball up and will be dribbling as though, you know, the people on the other team with the different colored jersey are trying to steal that ball. You know, and they're kind of looking about what to do and not keeping their eyes open that someone's going to come and steal the ball. And then they'll stop to set the play and they'll hold the ball out like this. Now, where am I going to pass the ball next? And the ball's right, protect the ball. If you're sitting next to me in the game, you'll hear me go, look out, watch. And, I get frustrated with that, but I played basketball the other day with Bobby and went to a gym and there were a bunch of guys there and I was the oldest guy there and we were playing and ball popped out and I got the ball on a breakaway And I'm dribbling. I'm thinking, oh, man, I got a layup. And I stopped watching. And I was like, oh, man, no problem. And my own son came up behind me, Speedy Gonzalez, boom, steals the ball from me, you know, embarrasses me in front of everybody. And I'm thinking, that's the very thing that I tell, you know, I get frustrated with. And there I did it. That's the idea. We need to watch. And it's a command here. It's not a suggestion. It's necessity. It's an imperative. And the idea is he's speaking to all of us. You must do this. You must have this discerning attitude. It's your responsibility. And certainly we can look to other passages like Acts 20 where the church leaders have an added responsibility to protect those under their care and to watch and to be on guard. But this is a command to everybody. And it's written in a way that it speaks of something that needs to be immediate and have your continual attention. It should be a way of life for every believer. No, it's not just, you know, keep your eyes open some of the time. The coach doesn't tell the basketball guard, just keep your eyes open just during the first half. All the time. You need to keep your eyes open spiritually all the time. Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20 and 21. Despise not prophecies, or don't despise the proclamation of God's word. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. The word prove there means examine all things. So there's a good balance there. So we keep our eyes open. When he says despise not prophecies or the preaching of God's word, don't have a critical spirit. Don't have an attitude that is critical. But at the same time, don't swallow everything without checking it out. In fact, don't swallow anything without checking it out. You listen. And you be on guard that what is being preached, what is being taught, whether you're listening on TV or on the radio or reading in a book or over this pulpit, is in keeping with God's word. Don't swallow anything without checking it out. It's the time I went to a Dunkin' Donuts early in the morning. It was the first one there. They just made the donuts. And I got a butternut donut, one of my favorites. I got that in the bag, got in the car, got the coffee, took a sip of coffee, and took the donut out of the bag and took a big bite of it. As soon as I bit into it, oh my word, what is going on? And they had that donut, they had fried it instead of the whatever they fried in, the fat for donuts. They had fried it in the oil, the garlic oil that they made bagels with. And the cake had soaked in all that garlic, and it was the most horrendous thing I'd ever stuck in my mouth. I'm very grateful I didn't swallow it. I mean, I got it right up. But if I had just, because it wasn't 2 seconds later that the power of that garlic was filling the car, if I had just taken the time to stop and smell that donut, I would have never bitten into it. And we need to be watching that way. We need to be asking ourselves, is this teaching in keeping with the faith that the Scripture teaches? As Hebrews says, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The danger is letting the truth of Scripture slip away. And the donut at first glance looked fine. It's like a butternut donut. It wasn't fine. And there are times that we can look at religious systems and churches and they give Jesus Christ an important place. They give him a high place, but they don't give him the preeminent place. And they speak of Jesus, and they speak of Christ, and they speak of Lord, and they use words like gospel. But just because they use those words doesn't mean it's all okay. We need to examine it. In fact, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Paul gives a lot of warnings about being careful with what you believe and follow. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or tricked Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember, we saw that last week, the simplicity of just walking with Christ. Just stick with him. Follow him. Rest in him. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, Where if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Here is Paul's concern. These false teachers are going to come in and start dropping Jesus, the name Jesus, and gospel, and follow the Spirit, and you're going to follow them. You're not going to check it out. Because there is a Jesus and a gospel that is not in keeping with the Scripture that he calls as another Jesus and another gospel. So we need to ask ourselves some questions as we check this thing out. Things like, does it hold to John 14:6? Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Acts 4:12, there is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a church that says, you know, the gospel is good and Jesus is good, but that's just one path. You can also take this path or that path. That's not the gospel. The gospel is such that Jesus is the only way because he is the only one that could bear the sins of all mankind. He is the only one that rose from the dead. There are not many ways to heaven. There is one way, and it is Jesus Christ. And to deny that, even though you might say Jesus is a great teacher and he's one way, is to deny the preeminence of Christ. And it is a religion that's filled with garlic. It's filled with that which is wrong, that which is hurtful. Does it hold to Ephesians 2:8-9? For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is it something that adds, well, Jesus' death on the cross, that's great, and we need certainly to trust in Jesus, but alongside of that, you also need to do these works. You need to be coming to church, you need to go light these candles, and you need to say these certain words and say these certain prayers, and you need to make sure you're good, and because we need to add to what Jesus, he set the example. We need to follow him, and he brings part of salvation, but there's works as well. And then we talk about Jesus and the gospel, but that's not it. If it's a church that teaches anything that you could possibly boast about when you stand before heaven, when you stand before God, you get there and say, well, I'm in heaven because not only did I follow Jesus, but I was better than other people, and I went to church, and it's something you could possibly boast, it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. Need to ask yourself things like, does it hold to 1 Corinthians 15:1-3 that we have in the bulletin every week that describes the gospel and speaks of this in terms of the fact that Christ died for our sins? The gospel, as we saw in Sunday school this morning, is not about having your best life now. That Jesus died on the cross so that he could give you a good life now. The fact of the matter, you come to Christ, there are still hard things in life. There's still difficulties you need to face. Jesus went to the cross because we're sinners. And sin demands a penalty before a holy and just God. And our only hope is that Jesus stood in our place. He died for sins. And part of that is acknowledging your sin and repenting and realizing that you need a Savior. And of course, the passage goes on to speak of his death and his literal resurrection. Not just, you know, you don't have to believe in the resurrection. Yes, you do. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, he's not who he said he was. And the gospel's lost. So don't go just bipping around any church. Oh, yeah, they've mentioned Jesus, the gospel. That's okay. Check it out. Is it in keeping with God's word? You need to look at it. Does it do some of this? Like Jude 4, there's a warning there. Where there will be people who will turn the grace of God into a door to loose living. Well, if salvation is by grace, not by works, I'm going to say the Jesus prayer thing, and I'm going to just live my life the way I want. And they take the grace of God that saves us from sin as an open invitation to live a life of sin. That's not the gospel. Does it set up extra biblical standards to measure holiness and spiritual growth? And Paul addresses some of those issues in the rest of Colossians. And all of these errors exist in churches that may use terms like Jesus and Lord and gospel, but they're not in keeping with Scripture. So beware. Keep your eyes open. And the reason we need to follow this command, he says, lest any man spoil you. And the phrase is set up in a way to show the imminence of the danger. That it is a real and constant present threat. It is like 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, that is, be serious-minded, wake up, Be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking to destroy and to snatch people away. And the passage goes on, it says you need to be steadfast in the faith if you're going to stand against him. You need to know what you believe so you can beware and have your eyes open. It's a present threat. I don't know if you realize this, but down in the snack shop, you know, all places around here have problems with mice. And we set up traps and try to catch the mice. And I work with Wendy. She doesn't have to do that and go in there. But recent, back in the summer, I don't know when it started, but there was a hole that was dug back in the storeroom in the snack shop that wasn't a mouse hole. And there was a whole case of combos. Now, not just a package, but a whole case that was eaten, all of it. And, you know, kind of dragged down towards the hole and you know, huge wads of insulation that have been wadded up and other signs that shows that this is not any small mouse. And, you know, we don't know what it is. We haven't caught it yet. We've got traps there. And it might be a rat. You know, and if I said to you, and this is true, there's a rat loose in this building. I think you'd be like, whoa, yikes. If I said, well, you know, Mr. Fletcher did a, you know, in biology class, or actually it's Mrs. Kevin, biology class, they're looking at a snake. The snake got out. He may be around here this morning. Just be careful. How would you, you know, yay. And if it's a lion. But here, it's the same idea. You've got to see it that way. That there's that danger that's out there. And it's a command that we need to follow. We need to consider what's at stake. Not just consider the command, but consider what's at stake, what's on the line. Lest any man spoil you. The word spoil is from a Greek word. Behind that word is a Greek word that's a compound word. There are two parts. The first part of it means to rob and steal, literally to strip away all your possessions. And the second part of it is carry away. To not only take away your treasure, but then take you away and enslave you. And it's used in other writings of an invading army that would plunder and then carry away the conquered people into slavery. Applied here, it's talking of false teachers who will come along and offer up alternatives to the truth of resting in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. They'll come along and present a different path to walk other than hanging on to Jesus Christ and following him. And they'll do it in a cunning way, and then in doing so, they'll steal away the treasure of Christ and also carry you off into the slavery of some religious system, some erroneous worldview that leads to sorrow and destruction. And you will build your life and invest your fortune on something that is empty and wrong. But the word choice is perfect to get our attention, spoil you, take you captive. Has it gotten your attention? The warning is given because the danger is real. There's plenty of people. I mean, we can look at, well, we're the Mountview Bible Church, and we got, you know, this doctrinal statement, and, you know, nothing's going to happen to us. And that's the very thing I think Satan will want us to think. Because the whole idea as we move through this chapter that his attacks are subtle. I think the devil's wise enough to know what kind of subtle attacks and deceptive ways that he would need to bring into our ministry to get our focus off of Christ. And then I think of the bondage that some people get turned to. Think of the bondage of those, some who are in religious systems that continue to demand of them more and more and more. You know, you've got to give this money and you've got to do these things and you've got to do more and more and more. And it's all focused on what you can do. And they're in bondage to it, whether it's counting out beads on a chain that they need to pray, or whether it's crawling up their knees on steps, or whether it is that they have to give their entire fortune in order to somehow appease God and never have the confidence that God is satisfied with them. It's always just a little bit more. Just do a little bit more. Okay, give me a little bit more. You might make it now. And never having the confidence that all is taken care of in Christ. Or worse, religious systems that give people a false confidence you've done the system and now God is pleased with you and it's against Scripture. Or consider, let me turn to this text, 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, where we read, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Someone comes along and here's the idea of, why don't you choose money and gaining the world over Christ? And some have looked at the two and have said, I'm gonna follow after money. And they lay Christ aside and they turn away from the faith. And they build their whole philosophy of life. And that's the idea in Colossians, that deceitful philosophies, that's their whole worldview is built on, money makes the world go round. And just, get a little bit more and that'll bring satisfaction. And they give themselves to it in such a way that they reject the faith of Christ. And that's exactly what Judas did. Judas sat under the teaching and followed Christ, and he never had a heart for it. And when the opportunity came around, this was something that was better than following Christ, a way to get more money here. Have some silver. You just deny Christ. No problem. Thank you very much. Took the money, pierced himself with not just earthly sorrows, but eternal perdition, this text tells us. There are those that will come around and will offer any number of things to get you to turn away from Christ. So beware. Obey the command. Keep your eyes open. How do we do this? I've alluded to it a number of times, and we'll develop this theme as we move through this chapter. You need to ask yourself, the end of verse 8, is this a philosophy that is based on the reasoning of men, or is it after Christ and the truth of Scripture? You need to know the truth of Scripture. Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." How do we keep our eyes open and know? We need to know the Scripture. And not just know it doctrinally, but let the word of Christ dwell in you, that you would internalize it by faith. And so my warning to you from this text, and my admonition for you from this text, would be open your Bibles and ask God to open your heart to the truth of who Christ is, that you would grow, that you would spend time getting to know Christ and know what a treasure He is, so that you would not give Him up for anything, and so that you know Him so well. And when something else comes along, may you use the name Jesus and Christ and gospel and Lord, you can be able to say, that's not it. Because this is how the Bible describes Christ. This is how the Bible describes the gospel. It can be as practical as this, as you work through this process of opening up your eyes. Could you explain to me the gospel? Could you sit down and explain to me the gospel? Is it important to believe that Jesus is God? Why? Can you defend it from Scripture? Is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ really important? Why? Can you support that with Scripture? What implication does the truth that Jesus is Lord have for the life of a believer? We believe that Jesus is Lord. Does that have any implication in the way we live? How come? Do you support that with Scripture? Do you live it out with your life? Does that word of Christ dwell in you? That's all part of opening your eyes so that someone doesn't come along and offer you something else and you fall for it. These questions are so important because your soul is on the line, and the soul of those you have influence with depends on this vital connection to Jesus Christ. And it is the foundation on which we build the answers to the how-to questions that I mentioned before about marriage and parenting and contentment in life and wisdom and relationships and even facing trials, even death itself. All of this rests on this vital connection to who Jesus Christ is. If you turn away from Jesus Christ, you've lost everything. And I don't care how much stuff you have. I don't care how many worldly philosophies you understand or how many books you've read or how much money, whatever you're resting your life on. If you don't have Christ, you've turned away, you have nothing. Nothing. So don't give up your treasure. Keep your eyes open and guard it. And let's end with this and on the flip side of it. If you've got Christ, you've got everything. Even if there are circumstances of trials and difficulties that seem to be overwhelming and whoa, if you've got Christ, you have all you need. Because He is the treasure that provides everything you need to have a right relationship with God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for this warning that You have given to us from Your Word, this encouragement to come to know You. Lord, I do pray that You would help me, as too often I'm looking for stuff, and whether it's the stuff of material things or the stuff of relationships or the stuff of whatever it might be, just grasping at that for contentment. Lord, I pray that You would give me and give all of us the faith to understand that in Jesus we have all that we need. Help us to come to treasure Him. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us wisdom as we face the subtle attacks, even and especially so, a church that seeks to stand for the gospel, that as the evil one would come around, we would be prepared, we would have our eyes open. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to remember that truly the best way to do this is to know Christ, just to walk with Him, to stick with Him every day, to open the precious truth of Your Word and to learn of Him, listen to His commands and His promises and claim them and apply them. Father, know what it is to walk with You. Father, I pray that as we do that, not only would we be keeping our own souls, but we would be used to be protecting and guarding the souls of those that we love around us. We pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.